Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Pod Network Entertainment.
Well, another interesting story is, why did I choose beer as the first product? At that time, sabi ko, I was enjoying beer, and I was going into entrepreneurship head on. So I said, you know, there will be very good days, there will be very bad days. If I'm happy, there's beer. If I'm sad, there's beer. If it becomes a bad batch, we'll just finish it. So sabi ko, oh, baka walang talo, kasi we'll just drink everything. You have to scrape through all your connections and contacts list. So I think like we all started there. May kilala ka bang marunong ng marketing? May kilala ka bang graphic designer? That was my day one as well. I was the driver. I was delivering my first cases of beer. I was the one pitching to the bars. I was opening the bottles in front of them. Oy, try it man lang. Ganyan. Picking up the bottles for reusing, for recycling. So I went through all of that. Being in bazaars, at that time, usong-uso yung mga bazaar. Sa Rockwell or whatever. Yeah, I was setting up, you know, in my tiny Wego. Cases and cases of beer. I can fit in the whole booth sa loob ng small car na yon.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning to wherever you're watching or listening to this podcast from here in the Philippines or from whatever part in the world. Welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In my podcast, I'd like to interview the country's pioneering business personalities and trailblazing entrepreneurs to learn more about how what they think about business. What are their success secrets? Can we replicate those success secrets in our own businesses? How have they innovated, pivoted, evolved their businesses during the time of the pandemic? But more importantly, what business opportunities do they see emerging in the new normal? Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please do let me know. I would love to learn from them as well. At the same time, just drop me a message. We are also available right now on Kumu, YouTube, and of course, in CBRC TV. Now, tonight is a very special episode. A few weeks ago, we had the Ramon V. Del Rosario C. Club Awards. This awards was jointly organized by the FINMA Group together with the De La Salle University Ramon V. Del Rosario College of Business. And the award, the C. Club Awards, aims to recognize youth entrepreneurs between the ages of 25 to 40 who demonstrate exceptional leadership in their respective fields through organizing and managing sustainable businesses, social enterprises, or self-initiated programs that uplift the lives of others. And tonight, we've got one of the winners of the C. Club Awards joining me here on the show. His name is Stephen Michael Cohen. He's truly a visionary entrepreneur who has been the co-founder and CEO, not just of one entrepreneurial business, but of two businesses. The first one you might be familiar with if you are a beer connoisseur, that is Nipa Brew Craft Beers. And the second one is Worth the Health Foods, or WTH Foods. Stephen's journey into the world of sustainable food innovation and craft brewing began with a shared passion for showcasing Filipino creativity and locally sourced ingredients. Very interested to find out more about the entrepreneurial journey of Stephen. Let's welcome him here to the show. Stephen, welcome to the RJ Ledesma Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, RJ. I'm a big fan of yours, and thanks for having me.
Yeah. Stephen, keep it very exciting for me over here. There you go. Now, I'm going to start off right now by asking, first of all, Stephen, as I transfer where I'm speaking from, is that in a nutshell, first of all, explain a bit more, if you're making a pitch about Nipa Brew Craft Beers, what is Nipa Brew Craft Beers all about? And I'll be moving it to another signal. So please go ahead.
Hi, RJ. So, so my name is Steven. I am co-founder of both Nipa Brew Craft Beers and Worth the Health Foods, which I'll explain in a while. So Nipa Brew Craft Beer is one of the pioneering craft beer brands in the Philippines. We launched around 2015 when it was a wave of craft breweries, local craft breweries, craft beers that are launching, and Poblacion in Makati became our home. So we also have our tap room in we're here in Camagong in San Antonio, Makati, where we showcase our special beer creations. So how do we differentiate craft beer is by the quality, by the ingredients we use, and through our creativity. So we brew different styles of ales and lagers, from your wheat ale to blonde ale to dark ales, to IPAs, to India Pale Ales, and Scotch Heavy Ales. We have all of these wonderful recipes showcasing Filipino creativity. So we create craft beer for the Filipino palate. When we started, the problem we saw, or what I really enjoyed, was the pub culture over in UK or in Europe. And I wanted to bring that back here to the Philippines. We were, at that time, I think craft beer was not yet very big. So we have all of these big beer brands that we are very familiar with. But at the same time, we also saw that Filipinos were craving for something different, to have more adventure. And that's how we started Nipa Brew. So with Nipa Brew, our tagline is actually brewed for adventure. We want to take you to a world of flavors. We want to let you experience something that's not boring anymore. And we feel that craft beer is, I guess, the future, part of the future. The same with our other business, the Worth the Health Foods, a plant-based alternative protein startup, which I'm also very excited to talk about. I just want to, I guess, to continue sharing the plant-based journey as well. It was during pandemic. We all experienced the pandemic, and we wanted to eat healthier and be healthier. And that's also when partially our journey about plant-based alternative proteins began. So Worth the Health Foods is a plant-based alternative protein startup. We are operating in the Philippines, doing R&D in Singapore and in Prague, where one of my co-founder is as well. We sell our plant-based meat products under Umami, which sounds like umami, the taste, but it's also the Tagalog word for harvest. So we wanted to truly showcase a Philippine brand of plant-based meats, seafood, and alternative protein. We also have a few kiosks out there called Umani Bistros, which we use to showcase new creations of our plant-based products in very familiar formats. So from your sisig to sausages, shawarma, which are all plant-based, and some unique creations like a sisig pancit bihon or sisig wonton, which we are releasing soon as well. And our main test kitchen is also in Makati, sharing space with Nipa Brew Craft Beers here in Camagong, on Camagong Street, San Antonio Village in Makati, where we showcase more food innovations. So we're moving beyond plant-based meat. We're also researching on other plant legumes from the Philippines, from kadyos to munggo to, of course, you have your usual soybeans, but we're also testing the nutritional, functional, and textural properties of other plant ingredients like jackfruit, microalgae, macroalgae, or seaweeds, and even coconut. We're fermenting different products to enhance their nutritional contents. And I think that's about the two businesses so far. So with the plant-based, so how the journey, I guess, began is I'm a science entrepreneur. I took up biology back in college, and I have two masters. One is from UP, and another one from University of Cambridge. I was fortunate enough to get the Scheveningen scholarships 10 years ago, allowed me to study for a master's in bioscience enterprise in Cambridge. And with that, I saw that the Philippines was lagging in innovation. The only time that we were mentioned was the high incidence of dengue, and we're one of the 29 countries that cultivate genetically modified crops. And so it's a long-term dream for me to put the Philippines on the map of global innovation. And so far, we're getting recognition here and globally. The last one being the RVR Siklab Awards for Impact Entrepreneurs, which I'm very honored to have received. And that's how it began. When I came back 10 years ago from the UK, I saw the need for science-based entrepreneurship, and I felt that science is best expressed through food or agriculture, especially here in the Philippines, something that is very easy to explain to the younger generations, something that's easy to showcase. So it's through food. And so we started with something that I really enjoyed when I was studying in the UK, which is the pub culture. They have the pub culture not to get drunk, but to unleash their creativity. So like Harry Potter was written in a pub. The DNA was discovered in a pub. So I wanted to bring that culture kind of back here in the Philippines, and through also showcase Filipino creativity through our flavors.
Ang galing mo naman. Ang dami mong... I love how you were able to weave the whole story over here, Stephen, without thinking here. But thanks so much. It's really a great story. But before everything else, I want to, before you get more of the story, I know that you also won in the Ramon V. De Rosario Awards. Can you tell us a bit more about what the awards was all about, and why is it, you know, why do you feel it was important for you to, you know, because you have to apply for the award and you won it. Yeah. What do you think it means for you as a company?
First of all, really thankful for the RVR Siklab Awards to FINMA and De La Salle University for, I'm not sure who nominated me, but I was nominated and then I applied. And I just wanted to showcase the impact that we have as a company. And as well, it serves as a testament to our hard work, to our impact in the community. And so the recognition is an added bonus. But what I am very, I guess, looking forward to is the new network of friends and supporters that that we got. And because of the RVR Awards, I'm also in your show, which I've been trying to get into. But I guess this is the way to get to RJ. So
great, yeah,
very, very. Thankful for the RVR Siklab Awards, which was just held last month. Yeah,
that's right, last month. And now I want to go step back a bit. I know that I'm sorry if the signal for mine disappeared a bit. No, but really, as I look at you, I'm not sure if you discussed it, but you said that you have a biology background for Ateneo and a technology degree, and on top of that one, that you had a science degree. That doesn't, parang for me, it doesn't speak much about the entrepreneurial mindset or background, because sometimes you can be very academic. I hope you understand where I'm coming from, but academic and bookish don't usually translate to saying, I want to strike it out on my own. So where did the sort of like the entrepreneurial spirit come for you? Was it because I'll make an assumption that you were a Filipino-Chinese, so you come from a very entrepreneurial background, and that's where it came from?
Yes, I think that's partly true. So the family is into business, but nothing to do with science or food. So, and it's my desire really to showcase Philippine innovation, I guess. And I saw it through entrepreneurship, where we could not only create impact for our consumers, especially now that we are in the plant-based segment, we are creating impact on health, on of our consumers, the health of our farmers, the environment, and even the animals. So I guess like it's a very exciting journey to be an impact entrepreneur and to be a science-based entrepreneur. So I don't know what if I would do another career other than entrepreneurship, but it's been a fun journey. It's a crazy journey. It's very difficult, especially in this country where you don't get a lot of support for being innovative. But we found a way to showcase it to the world. So we're getting recognition as well in the region, in Malaysia, in Singapore. And we're setting our sights to Europe as well to showcase Philippine innovation in Europe.
Fantastic. I mean, you could be the next Don Papa Rum. In the vein of, and for those people who don't, Papa Rum was actually developed here in the Philippines, but it was bought out by an international liquor company. But the question I have over here also, Stephen, is that when you talk about your background, because I like it, you said that it makes you a bit different, is that the mindset of somebody who is an entrepreneur per se, meaning that, he's trying to create a product by seeing the pain points. You're coming from a different perspective. And it's interesting because scientists like yourself come from a different perspective, because I've had people from Shell Livewire developing technological-based products coming from their knowledge. What can you say makes it a bit different from you being an entrepreneur, a regular entrepreneur from a science or tech-based entrepreneur? I know you're both solving pain points, but sort of like, how do you see the world differently? That's what I'm curious about.
I would actually admit that I think we are at a disadvantage as a science entrepreneur because we love our solution. And sometimes the problem is not there. We love our solution so much. We've created so many food innovations in the lab, but the market is not ready. Although we understand that the market could be there 10 years from now, especially for these alternative proteins, as our demand for protein really increases. The world, from calculations, on paper, the world couldn't sustain that demand for protein using the traditional sources, which are animals and livestock. And as we know, parang livestock and the livestock industry is one of the heavy polluters in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, water usage. So there is a need to look for, looking at this, coupled with climate change, there is a need to look for solutions. And one way, there's many, many ways. I'm not saying that plant-based alternative proteins are the main ones, but we are in food. We saw this, we saw the solution, and we came up with plant-based alternatives, meat alternatives. And then, when you, the difficulty with a food business, you have to release it out there in the market. So after like months and even years of research on perfecting this plant-based sausage or sisig, for example, and then you give it to the market, food, it's a very personal choice. And then Filipino market would be like, we're okay with the real pork sisig. So we saw that problem in a big picture sense. We have the solution, and then the market doesn't respond. So that's also a very, very interesting, I guess, perspective for a food science entrepreneur, that it's product-based. It's not really tech-based. We're competing against other food companies, which are very focused on taste and the cost as well, especially with a very difficult parang economic environment these days with high input costs and taas ng bilihin. So
especially
right now. So we have a solution for a very long-term problem, but we have to also keep ourselves grounded and see the reality. What's happening here? What do Filipinos need? What do our regions or markets need? So, I think as scientists, we fall in love with our babies very much. We love to stay in the lab, create all these wonderful innovations and creations, and then, we doesn't realize that maybe the world is not ready for these solutions. So, Yeah, so I guess it's a little bit of a disadvantage versus, you know, the real entrepreneurs who really understand the problem and really find solutions, disregarding, you know, whether they fall in love with their creations or solutions. But yes, I think you're right. Being an entrepreneur, you have to look for that big problem and solve it.
Which is very interesting because actually we can talk about the whole journey. I mean, it's interesting to actually talk about the journey and how you plan to get there. Because I mean, like for us who are trying to be entrepreneurs, the idea is that, you know, and I'm sure same with you, it's every failure is just a way to figure out your pathway to success, or you just keep on iterating your dish, or you keep on iterating what you have until you finally come up with a solution that there's a better product market fit, especially for your product.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, then having said that, I want to go right now. I know you were telling a bit of a story about the Nipah Brew. And let's go back to that one because I like that sort of insight that you gained from there. And you were saying that the insight you gained was when you were in the UK studying for your master's degree, you realized that the insight came when you were drinking in a pub, right? That's sort of where the insight came. Tell us a bit more about that one because it's nice to relate it to what's happening here.
I guess coming from, you know, when coming from my background studying in a local university, and then, you know, scientists, you know, the science buildings, it's just beside the business buildings. But I never got to meet the business people, my batchmates who are in the business college. And I was like, how is this? Where can innovation spark if these two great people don't meet, the science people and then the business people? So, you know, when I was in Cambridge, that's what I really appreciated. All of their networking actually are either, you know, have some kind of a beer. So the whole school, there's like some beer to loosen up the tongues and have these conversations between scientists and people.
Sponsored the university yung pub nila, diba? Parang the pub is the place where everybody gets together and the university even says, yeah, the sponsor, it's part of the culture, right?
Yeah, yes. And you know, it's not there to get drunk, but to let the creative juices flow. And so our tap room is also designed for that, you know, to be a safe space where you know, people who enjoy different flavored craft beers and our plant-based dishes come together and discuss big world problems, talk about solutions in a big picture sense. So I'm really happy with what we have at the moment and how I am sparking conversations and innovations as well with our food products. So, yeah.
Got that. So I want to find out. So after you had the idea, okay, I know that local beer might be something that's different. And I understand the pain point you were saying. Beer is nice for it's a nice conversation starter. What made you saying, I'll make my own beer? And what would have been your differential advantage to creating your own beer?
At that point, I guess like me and my classmates or co-founders were spoiled for choice in the EU, in the UK. You know, they have all sorts of beers. And then, you know, coming back here, you have your imported beer and then you have your local big beers, or we call them the big beers. You know, they're of course, they're delicious. I'm not saying that the commercial beers locally from the Philippines are not. They're cheap and delicious. They get things done. Ganyan. But I felt that as a young food entrepreneur at that time, more of like biotech, I wanted to understand the beauty of like the ingredients, the fermentation science, the different natural resources, natural ingredients that we have, and mix them all together and come up with different styles of craft beer to showcase to the Filipinos that, hey, there's more to beer than these big beers. And why don't you try to enjoy living life a little, be more adventurous and try different flavors. And at that time, I think even until now, we're just following the trend that Filipinos being, I guess, economically more advanced now compared to maybe 20 years ago, they're also looking for choices and more food and more choices. And that's where the explosion of all these artisanal products come in as well. Right? So from your artisanal liquors to artisanal craft beers to even food. So many different concepts of restaurants coming up. And I guess, and that's why I think Mercato is also a good parang breeding ground for all of this creativity and innovation. So, yeah.
Well, Mercato is actually built to be a small food business incubator for businesses like Worth the Health or Umani, and of course, people like Nipa Brew. Guys, magka-collab kami very soon. I'll let you know for those listening to the program. But then, so when you had the idea, well, one question I had, the idea was strictly fermenting in your head when you were in the UK. You know, what made you come home? I mean, you were spoiled for choice for beer, but you were also spoiled for choice for alternative employment, not in the Philippines. You could have chosen to work outside. What brought you back, and what are the opportunities that you saw here in the Philippines that said, okay, it's worth coming back to?
Oh, this is a tough question because, you know, there is this nationalistic fervor pa rin, from Ateneo. I want to give back. I want to give back, and I felt that I could. I was very energetic. I was very young at that time. I wanted to give back, and through entrepreneurship, I felt that I could give back and to make an impact at that time, no, in back in the Philippines. More than, you know, the Philippines, I felt needed me more than the rest of the world. And it's part of that entrepreneurial journey that, or at least like impact entrepreneurship, where you wanted to give back as well to the place where, you know, that took care of you anyway, or where you were born. So, yes, at that time, that was the mindset to bring back learnings from abroad, from the UK, and then bringing it back to the Philippines. That has evolved a bit now that I want to showcase Philippine creativity and Philippine innovation to the world. So it's a very fun journey so far in this.
The Jesuit is strong in you, huh? The Jesuit influence is strong in you. I can see that.
Yeah.
I can feel that. Really great. Really great to hear. Really great to hear. But the next question is, okay, you came back, but then now you have the idea, but then just like in any startup, how did you implement it? How did you find, I guess, first of all, the resources and the capital, and where did you get actually the materials to begin this? How did you start it off?
Of course, I think like any, you know, even if the family is into business, I was asked to bootstrap it myself for the first maybe few months. You know, they were also thinking, you know, no one knew what is craft beer. No one knows what is food innovations. What kind of business is that? So, and you know, siguro as a fresh graduate as well, postgraduate student, they were like, are you serious about going entrepreneurship? So, so yes, they did offer support after they realized that I was willing to be broke for a long time in really bootstrapping the first ventures, you know, but at the middle of it, you know, they provided some funding, allowed me to buy some of my fermenting tanks. But for the most part, there's a huge bootstrap pa rin, for the first few years of Nipa Brew. And, but that's when, you know, I got my customers excited, I got investors excited, and that's when, funding came in, and it was also that journey that brought me to the plant-based alternative protein startup that we have right now.
Interesting. So when you went back home, so it's a combination of bootstrap and, of course, you know, funds from family and friends, which I understand, mm-hmm. right? But then how did you actually put the resources together? I mean, because you had the skill set already, you were able to set up your own plant at the house at once? Is that what you did, or did you do some, like they say, did you do a minimum viable product, as they would put it in the startup world? How do you actually get the first batch of beer out?
That's a very good question as well. So at that time, the difficulty with craft beer is there's a minimum investment to get the tanks, to get the, you could do the home brew, but you know, it's really different from a little bit of a more commercial craft beer setup. So you need to invest in tanks na, and they cost siguro upwards of a few hundred thousand to even like a few million pesos. That's, I guess, part of the risk that I had to take without really having a formal training of craft brewing, but just that passion and really
impressive.
Wanting to go. So YouTube and Google are very helpful in teaching me the first recipes of beer making. When you're young and you felt that you have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and then now that you realize, and like you've mentioned, you know, after going through it several, you know, you get smarter and smarter as the days go along, and really absorbing it all in. But I guess at the end of it all, it's making your consumers, customers happy. When you see them, when you see them happy and really thankful for the products that you have, it just takes away all the hardships and difficulties and makes you want to continue and continue to grow.
Wow. So the first batch, you had to invest in all those things first, the hundreds of thousands of the tax before you actually produce your first batch. Is that right?
Yeah, because I guess... Well, another interesting story is, why did I choose beer as the first product? At that time, sabi ko, I was enjoying beer, and I was going into entrepreneurship head on. So I said, you know, there will be very good days, there will be very bad days. If I'm happy, there's beer. If I'm sad, there's beer. If it becomes a bad batch, we'll just finish it. So sabi ko, baka walang talo. Baka walang talo kasi we'll just drink everything.
I like that entrepreneurship mentality. That's very interesting for me. And then, well, when you did it, I mean, another question I had is that your background is strong in product, I guess, R&D, because that's where you came from. But how did you do with them? How did you go about the marketing of this? Because not to say that you're not marketing savvy, but marketing isn't something that seemed to be your track, right? How were you able to market the beers and create the different flavors?
I think what's good with a craft beer community is when you're in that community.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Parang people gravitate towards that. All sorts of people from corporate marketing to everyone seems to enjoy a good beer, a craft beer. So I had to go out of my way to look for partners or potential employees also who enjoy the craft beer. So it's all about, parang at that time, I remember we were all part-timers. You know, I couldn't pay them. They couldn't leave their jobs. So, sige, part-time na lang lahat. We're helping out for sweat equity or what. And, you know, out of, you know, that passion talaga to create a consumer-facing craft beer brand, you have to scrape through all your connections and contacts list. So I think, like, we all started there. Uy, may kilala ka bang marunong bang marketing? May kilala ka bang graphic designer? That was my day one as well. I was the driver. I was delivering my first cases of beer. I was the one pitching to the bars. I was opening the bottles in front of them. Oy, try it man lang, ganyan. Picking up the bottles for reusing, for recycling. So I went through all of that. Being in bazaars, at that time, usong-uso yung mga bazaar.
Sa
Rockwell or whatever. I was setting up, you know, in my tiny Wego, cases and cases of beer. I can fit in the whole booth sa loob ng small car na yon. And yeah, setting it up, you know, going home past midnight just to scraping it up. So, you know, I think I went through the motion.
Anyway, good days, bad days, there's always beer, right?
Yes. So at the end of the day, pag-uwi sa bahay, okay, there's a bottle waiting there.
But my question now is, okay, you know, you've gone through the, it seems that, you know, you were, I mean, for me, you seem to be like a risk taker, which is great. That's what entrepreneurship is about. There's big risk. And, you know, what people don't know is, like you said, there's good days and bad days. And on those bad days, you really want to quit. Were there times that you said to yourself, like any entrepreneur, ayoko na, this is too much. Let me just go back to the family business, or let me go back to the UK and find some work over there. Did you encounter those days?
Every day. It's still going on. Every day. But I guess as entrepreneurs, you know, we don't, there's just something that in our brains that, you know, we just don't give up. If there's a will, there's a way. We'll try it. We'll keep trying. And I think that's also the beauty of entrepreneurship. Life is never boring. It can get very dangerous and risky when, now that I have two young kids as well. So
yes.
Now, even in considerations, how long can we keep doing this with our partners, with our co-founders as well? I know everyone around me is suffering with me, which is very, I guess, like, you know, it's also heavy on a burden on me to be supporting a lot of people around me. So it's not a very easy journey, and it's, I always ask that every day. Kaya pa ba? Kaya pa ba? Yeah, it's a self-awareness check.
Yes, but you know, just to let you know that's what we all go through. So we're okay. I mean, that this is what all entrepreneurs go through. People usually just see, and I have to say, like, people see your award for a $1 billion try, but they don't see the sort of stress that entrepreneur goes through every day get there. And then eventually, there comes also a point when you do business where you say, parang, oh my God, I made it, or at least, you know, wow, it's going to work, you know, or, you know, I've reached some sort of personal milestone. When was that for you when you were doing Nipa?
I guess when the products kind of maybe like detached from me. Initially, syempre, I'm the face of the company. I'm the one promoting it. What are you doing? You're Stephen from Nipa Brew. And then suddenly parang, Nipa Brew is becoming its own brand and name. And then when they met me, parang, oh, so what do you do? Oh, I'm with Nipa Brew. Oh, how long have you been? Oh, I'm the founder. What? You know, so I was like, oh, wow, that's a pleasant surprise. Now you know Nipa Brew before you know me already. So it's like a baby na parang, oh, out there in the world, making a name for itself. It's also very fulfilling to have that experience.
Yeah, really great story. I mean, like for me, I mean, if I may share, like with Mercato, it was at one point when people said, oh, I go to Mercato. I mean, what do you do, RJ? I put a Mercato. Oh, you put a Mercato? I eat there. It's a great feeling to know that, you know, you're not, people don't go there because of who you are. People go there because they enjoy the product or service that you're offering, right?
Yeah, when you have strangers paying for the, and not just your family and friends buying your products.
It's for real na. Totoo na yan. Diba? Negosyo na to. Wait, I want to show them right now. Ivan, let's show it right now. For those who are interested to get some Nipa Brew, no? Let's just show the website of Nipa Brew. That's nipabrew.com, if I'm correct. Where is it available here right now?
So we mostly do B2B for Nipa Brew. We sell in bars. We sell to hotels. We also do events. So if you have corporate events, like Oktoberfest or weddings or even beer appreciation, we have mobile bars, we have mobile pubs that we can send to your event with a tap system and the kegs, and you could pour fresh beer on tap in your event, right at your event, whether that's in a beach or in an events place. But you could also visit our tap room. It's in Camagong Street in San Antonio, Makati. And you could get fresh beers on tap. So we also do bottles. We can customize our labels to, if you have like a celebration, a despedida or a birthday, you could order parang customized labels as well. Besides, of course, the great tasting craft beer. If you're a bar as well, you could ask us to contract brew for you. We could create that flavor for you and then a special flavor for you for your own bar, for your own business. So that's where Nipa Brew is.
Wow. And the interesting thing is, how also did you come up with the flavors for Nipa Brew?
So we have to... I don't like to say any big beer brand names. But syempre, yun yung kinagisnan ng mga Pinoy. I grew up drinking, our parents grew up drinking the regular, the commercial beers. So we have to kind of be similar to them, but also different. So that's a very tricky, I guess, formulation or creativity where we have to play in the middle of a familiar beer flavors. So we have to design it for Filipinos as well, who likes something sweeter, something fruitier compared to very dry, very bitter. So that's where Nipa Brew is. We are in the, until now, we consider ourselves as the entry level craft beer. We are trying to transition a generation from drinking just the regular big beers to the craft beers. So we are that entry level midpoint.
And having said that, no, I often ask people here, what's the secret sauce? What makes the beer, I guess, what makes Nipa Craft Brew a bit different from the other craft brews that are out there? Is there something distinguishable? Is there a sustainable competitive advantage at what you guys do? Especially for you, given you've got the sort of background in science.
Yeah, the Pasig River water. Nah, joke. That's my usual joke. No, we don't. Of course, we don't know. So the beauty of beer, it's actually just four basic ingredients: your malt, your hops, your yeast, and water, which is 90% of beer. So we really have to take care of the water. But these different combinations of quality ingredients become the flavor of the quality flavor as well. And of course, a big creative part would be from our brewer. So I'm also thankful for my partner, who's a chemistry professor, and who has a PhD in brewing. So that's where also the flavor comes in, the creativity of the brewer. So we really like to showcase the person brewing behind the beer. So that's the story. And we're very happy. You can come. You can check our brewery. We tour you around the brewery. I show you the ingredients. There's no problem. There's no secret to this, but quality. And I can even show you the recipe. It's okay. But it's very it's not difficult to brew, but to maintain that quality. So for me, quality is number one. And of course, customer service. Right? We all train to really, you know, kind of bend over backwards for our customers as well, for them not only to enjoy the product, but the whole experience. So I guess, you know, with any business, yeah, that's the secret recipe.
Got that. So thanks so much for sharing this part of your story with regard to Nipa Brew. Now, this time around, I want to shift now to Umani. It's Umani now this time around, for those who don't know. Did you get the chance to explain earlier on what you do for Umani?
A little bit, yes. So Umani is the brand that we have for our plant-based meats and seafood and other plant-based protein solutions, including we have plant-based parang cheese sauces or dairy. We're also working with other legumes, looking for the protein inside them, to not to replace your meat, but to complement your meat. I'm not trying to replace lechon. You know, it's a very cultural thing. Pero yung mga sisig, pwede na yun. Yung mga tabi-tabi, mga giniling, ganyan. So that's where the plant-based protein comes in. And we're so much healthier than the products that we are trying to replace. So, yun naman, it was born out of the pandemic
Did you happen to be a vegetarian or uvulakto vegetarian?
I'm not.
That's why you came up with the idea.
I'm more plant-based, so it's called parang flexitarian. So a flexible vegetarian. As much as possible, I look for plant-based, but you know, parang culturally, it's really difficult for the Philippines. You know, the family handaan ganyan, laging may meat. Sometimes it's just too quite inconvenient to avoid them. That's why we're creating products that are really convenient for you to try. So we see that pain point as well. Na it's for the Philippines, it's very inconvenient to eat more plant-based. So we're there again. Hopefully, it's a solution that there's a problem too. But so far,
No, I was going to say, because I was actually vegetarian for 10 years. I was an ovo-lacto vegetarian for 10 years. And I went back to becoming a pescatarian. Now I am an everything eater. So I'm always very happy to support a plant-based diet. So I want to go back to the idea. So this is what I'm curious about, diba? So you were saying earlier on, you created beer, and of course, every day is a struggle, right? As an entrepreneur. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you choose to introduce another pioneering product. I mean, to put it rather bluntly or rather pessimistically, masakit na ulo mo sa beer, sumakit pa yung ulo mo sa isang brand na very trailblazing, di ba? What brought you to that point? Sabi ko, kaya kong itong dalawa. Or you just saw pain point, parang ganyan.
You know, of course, you know, you see an opportunity and you feel that you have the idea that fits the opportunity. It's not always correct, but we saw it, especially we actually started the R&D before the pandemic happened.
Okay.
And kahit paano, the pandemic accelerated that the health trend. Of course, everyone was more careful of their health. And we were actually, I think, quite benefiting for that. Everyone was at home. Everyone was paying attention to their diet. So we saw that opportunity and we thought that it was the perfect time to also launch this plant-based meat brand. And previously, I've been trying to grow Nipah Brew, but maybe I didn't think through it enough. Craft beer is actually a very local play. We are appreciated within our community. Kunyari, here in Makati, itong Nipah Brew from Makati, this craft brewer from Quezon City, this craft brewer from Pampanga. So parang, it's a very local play. For 5 years, I was like, I really want to showcase Philippine flavors to the world. But there's no way I could get the craft beers out in the world. We get all their ingredients. We get the malts, the hops from Europe, from Australia, U.S., and then put water here, brew it here, put water, and then send them back to the countries where they initially grew yung... It doesn't make sense. Like, oh my God, what did I... I don't know. And then, you saw this opportunity. I had a chance to do a fellowship in Rutgers Food Innovation Center in the U.S. And then that's where I was able to taste yung Impossible, Beyond, the biggest brands in plant-based meat. And then I saw the ingredients. It's like, wait... pea protein, soy protein. Wait, why don't we explore? I see the problem, what they're trying to solve. I'm like, wait, back in Southeast Asia, these flavors don't fly. It's very westernized. It's very American, European. And then can we create some plant-based meat that are for Filipinos, that are for Asians? And then pandemic happened. And then, there's nothing to do. We went back to the lab, research, R&D. We're very happy. Not very happy that the market is down, but it allowed us to do R&D as well. So that was the opportunity. Everyone, that sector was so hot globally. So it was my chance to showcase Filipino talent and creativity to the world, now to the world. So the challenges are... Huh?
Go ahead.
I guess the challenges are the same in a way, entrepreneurship, brand building, food, fighting in a saturated market. But also there are the other challenges of being able to showcase to the world. How do I get these products to the global market? So now we're looking, now I'm actually quite happy that we have that opportunity to showcase it to the world. Unlike Nipah Brew, for example. It's a very Filipino brand. It's a very local brand. But with Umani, we're getting interest globally, or at least in Europe and in the other Southeast Asian region. So again, that's kind of fulfillment. We're not earning yet. We're not really earning yet. But that's, when we see traction, when we see that our food creations are being appreciated, not just by Filipinos, but by foreigners, I'm like, oh, okay, this is, I can die happy now. No, I cannot die yet. I have so much to do.
You won't die just yet because you're having plant protein, so you're still okay. You're still okay, Stephen.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, lang. So I want to go back to, so you were actually developing it even before the pandemic, and you were saying that the pandemic accelerated the development of your plant-based protein foods. Just as a matter of when you develop a new product, were you also bootstrapping this one, or were you using the earnings from Nipa Brew to come over here? I mean, for other entrepreneurs are also looking at that, you know, how do I expand my business? Where do I get the capital, especially going to a second business?
Yeah, so initially, that was that, to do the initial R&D. I kept my salary low. I was getting the earnings from Nipa Brew and doing this R&D, which I felt has a more global potential. And then when the pandemic happened, everyone was into this alternative protein. We were able to raise money. It was also a very new game for me to try to raise money from really like seasoned investors, VC. So we've raised a little bit of money for this venture, for WTH. So now it's a separate company. So I'm really more focused on trying to grow this Umani Worth the Health Foods brand.
Got that. Now, for the first pain point that you solved, right? So there are, you go, okay, I can do plant-based protein products. And of course, that market is saturated by big players as well, no? What exactly made your product a bit more differentiated from what's in the market here right now?
As our company name implies, we're really focused on the health part. Although it's very difficult to market health as a food, because people would think like, oh, healthy, hindi masarap yan. Ah, gawa sa halaman, hindi masarap. So, but that's our we focus on that. 6 out of 10 causes of deaths are actually nutrition related. Despite of COVID, our top killers in the Philippines are still your cardiovascular diseases, cancers, and diabetes. And most of these things can be linked to how bad our diet is right now. So that's what I wanted to solve, to try to help Filipinos to eat better and to showcase what we have in the countryside and the plant proteins that I guess we've forgotten. There's a lot of underutilized crops, and also adding value to our farmers. So even with Monggo, we can add value to that, making it into a plant-based meat product, and adding value to everyone who from the farmers to the environment and especially to the consumers. So yeah, I am more excited. I mean, like craft beer, of course, makes you happy. But at least with our plant-based meat, it makes you healthy.
Ah, great. So there's beer that makes you both happy and healthy at the same time, no?
Yeah. When people ask me, is craft beer healthy? So I go, oh, diba, when you're happy, you're healthy.
I like that answer. That's a nice politically correct answer about craft beer. But Stephen, so for example, in the midst, I can see now Umani's, the challenge here is to make sure that it's healthy, but it tastes good, right? Kaya umami siya, right? Yeah. Like from, it's a play on the word umami, right? So, in particular, you were developing the product in the midst of the pandemic. I'm just curious, if you go back there, you had the products in the house, you were doing R&D there. How did you get actually market tested during the time?
Yeah, so, wala, we have to rely on deliveries, on sending it out to our consumers. So medyo na battle harden na rin our food, no? Parang it was designed to be delivered. It can survive food deliveries, which was a good training as well. So yeah, it's hindi lang kami yung nasarapan, but also the people outside where, you know, all the food deliveries were happening. So we were one of those as well, delivering food. But now it's so much easier. We're able to pitch it to chefs, to restaurants, and get instant feedback as well.
Oh, interesting. Can we just show a picture right now, Ivan, of the Umani website? I'm going to check out the different food that they have here right now, so the different plant-based food products which they have. No? And so for this one, full of good and full of flavor. when you develop your products, I understand that you guys can work towards the protein-based product, but the second portion of it all, where you might need to help with the expertise, is the flavor. How did you guys develop naman to make sure that it meets the flavor aspect of the product? Did you bring in a food scientist? Did you bring in a chef to help you out with those aspects?
Yeah, yes. So we have food scientists, we have food techs, and we also have chefs inside the team. So we are now a full-fledged food company as well. We also have like nutritionists who will compute the nutritional value. So yes, it's a chef-led, it's a chef-led product, plant-based center of plate, protein food experience.
It seems to me that, you know, you've branched out to so many different products, but how did you start off with the first plant, with the first protein product that you thought would sell? Because, you know, I assume it's quite a challenge to also sell the first one. What's the first one, and how did you branch out into the different stock keeping SKUs, different products that you created from meat?
I guess every plant-based meat brand starts with the mints, with the ground, parang giniling ground meat. That's the easiest to do. With like soy protein, and like we enhance it with our mung beans or jackfruit fibers. So everyone started kasi yun yung ano eh pinakamadali, and then we evolved to the processed meat products like yung sausages, burgers, and then the Filipino favorites, the tapa, and we keep challenging ourselves. This year we launched this one, the crab bites, our seafood products. We also have a plant-based tuna. Yeah, but we're also exploring other products from your cream cheese to sauces to other snack, even some snack items. And we're working with different local ingredients pa. So from coconut, ganyan, just to really offer a wide array of how you can consume the protein, of the plant protein. So even desserts, we're exploring. So I think that's the fun thing. It's kind of more complicated than the beer, which is just using the same tanks. With this one, we're using different machines, equipment to come up with different textures and formats as well. So it's exciting. Again, I've fallen in love with the solution. Now I'm finding the problem.
that's one thing I want to ask before we start wrapping things up. You said that, you know, the thing right now is it's a learning process for you to start solution and then problem, fix a problem. Tell us a bit more of how I guess, when you entered into the plant-based proteins, what were some of the things where solution came first and then eventually you had to, you know, turn things around where you had to make it a problem that you had to solve first?
So we're looking at, we know the big picture problem, the health problem, the sustainability problem, and then the welfare, animal welfare problem. And these are really legitimate problems across the world. They're more, I guess, recognized in the West, in Northern Europe, in Western Europe, in North America, and less so in Southeast Asia. So how do we get around this like parang cultural mindset that Southeast Asians do not appreciate sustainability as much as the European counterparts? So we're trying to this solution. Yeah, it tastes good. It's thank you na lang. It's plant based. So we try not to market our products as plant-based, but something like a healthier version, a yummier version than the real meat products that they're. And at the same time, they're doing good. That's why it's full of good and then full of flavor. So that's our tagline. Surprisingly, if you are in our industry, you'll see many, many new innovative solutions like high moisture extrusion, a cell-based protein, which all form part of alternative protein industry, looking for that problem 10 years from now. So it's a very forward-looking industry, and I hope to see the day when Filipinos and the world eats more sustainably, healthier, and really more kind to everyone, to the planet, to the farmers, to the animals, and to themselves.
I guess, you know, as the younger generation comes over, diba, the younger generation starts to come into positions of leadership. You know, usually the idea is that, you know, during my time, I'm a Gen X, you know, environment wasn't a key concern. It was something that was important, but it wasn't the key concern. But as things evolved, you know, it became a bigger and bigger price point. It became a bigger decision-making point in supporting products. And hopefully we evolved towards a more purposeful eating habit where it's not just flavor you're looking at when you eat in the place. It has to be flavorful and it has to be healthy at the same time, or healthy in the sense that you're supporting the climate at the same time. It might just, like you said, no, you're a bit ahead of the curve, but hopefully we get there sooner than later when it comes to your Umami products. You know, I didn't realize, Stephen, that we've taken up so much time. It's been a really, really interesting discussion. But what I want to go back here as we start to wrap things up, no, is, you know, you've learned so much. I'm sure that you've gained a lot of wrinkles, lost a lot of hair. Not too much, I hope. But then developing your entrepreneurial spirit, you made some mistakes along the way. What can you just share with us a couple of things for the aspiring entrepreneurs, aspiring startup people listening to the show here right now? What are the things that you want to share with them, management tips or hacks that you want to share with them that you wish you knew when you were starting out doing business? Maybe just a couple of, maybe two or three pieces of advice. For instance,
I've always thought that, you know, the world is your plant-based oyster. There's so many people that are willing to help, fellow entrepreneurs. You'll be surprised at how many entrepreneurs are more willing to help than try to be secretive and confidential. It's the same for myself. I'm sure, like, even RJ, who's like putting up food incubators, the same with us. We open our facilities to food entrepreneurs as well, who wants to collaborate, who wants to work on food solutions. You'll seek and you shall receive. And I think that's very true. That's something that, you know, I think we all have to learn. We don't learn it in school to share notes, but you realize as an entrepreneur, we don't know everything, and sharing notes is a given for any entrepreneur. And in my journey, I've seen more helpful people than people who don't want to help. It's a beautiful thing as well to get to entrepreneurship, and you do see the beauty of humanity helping each other out. So I think that's the beauty of the entrepreneurial community as well. If you're a true entrepreneur, you're more willing to help, you're more willing to share than what you want to get back. And I think that's true for a majority of entrepreneurs. So ask around, get feedback, get your mentors. I think your biggest enemy, your biggest ano nga, is yourself, preventing yourself from going out there, from thinking out of the box. It's your fear. It's your fear, and that's what you have to overcome firstly.
Got that. Actually, speaking of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship, I've got here listening to you here right now, Eric Daryl Lim here at the comment box. I want to highlight Eric's comment. Eric Daryl Lim, he says, congrats, Stephen Michael Go. I'm not sure if you know. Do you know Eric?
Yes, Eric. Of course.
Great. Okay.
Idol.
Eric just recently won also in the Young Market Masters Awards for entrepreneurial marketing.
Congrats,
for
his product. Eric.
He's also a graduate of a Masters of Entrepreneurship at the Ateneo Graduate School of Business. He was actually an ambassador because of his great grades. He's an ambassador for the Ateneo Graduate School. Thanks so much, Eric, for listening in. I'll probably have you, Eric, very soon on the next podcast. Would love to hear also your own story. So, like you said, you're right. People like Eric listening over here and Stephen, there are a lot of you out there who are willing to share your expertise. Thanks so much for sharing your story. Again, for those who want to find out more about Nipa Brew, you can go to their website. That's nipabrew.com. Is that right, Stephen?
Yes, nipabrew.com and eatumani.com.
Eatumani.com. Again, thanks so much for your time, Stephen. And thanks again to the people from the Ramon V. Del Rosario C Club Awards for allowing me to feature Stephen Ko of Worth the Health, WTH Foods, and of course, Nipa Brew. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the RJ Ledesma podcast. We will see you in the next podcast. Okay, guys, thanks so much. Stephen, stay around. We'll talk after this. Thanks, guys.
The opinions of podcast creators, hosts, and guests are not necessarily reflective of the official stance of the Pod Network Entertainment, its hosts, or other network programs. The content created by the people behind the podcast is personal and not meant to harm any religion, ethnicity, group, organization, company, or individual.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.